Hi everyone, my name is Pastor Tori, and I am the pastor of Union Congregational Church in Hackensack, Minnesota, and would like to welcome you this evening to our last Lenten service, and would love to greet you in the name of Christ, that no matter who you are or where you are in your life's journey, that you are welcome here. As I said, this is our last Lenten service of the season. Next week is Holy Week, and we will be having some services on Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday. And because we're doing a lot of things online, we're going to be doing a couple things that are different, but I think will be very cool. And I will put those and post those on Facebook and on the website so that you know when to tune in and what exactly we are doing. And I'm actually gonna try to catch some sunsets and some sunrises and read the story of Jesus being arrested in the garden, Jesus's crucifixion, and then his resurrection. And I think it will be kind of a neat thing to just allow scripture to speak for itself. So with that said, will you join me in the call to worship? God, thank you for this day. Thank you for being present in our lives. You have guided, protected, and encouraged us through the good times and the hard times. Continue to care for us, for our friends, and for those who are struggling tonight. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. It seems to be the theme song for this Lenten season is called the song called The Rising of the Sun. And I know I've said this before, but this song reminds me of how God deserves praise no matter what. No matter what time of day it is, no matter what our circumstances might be, God deserves our praise. And this is a song that kind of sticks in my head, and when I'm going through kind of hard times, it reminds me that even though I'm going through a hard time, that God still deserves praise. So join with me from the rising of the sun. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. So praise. Our scripture this evening is one verse, and it is found in John 11:54. And I don't know if I want to just jump into the sermon or just read it. I think I'm just going to go into the sermon and then read it when it comes up. So I'm gonna do that. Have you ever watched a movie for like the third or fourth time, and it's probably one of your favorite movies, and you know the plot, and you know the characters, and you even know the ending, But as you're watching it, you are picking up things that you didn't see the first or second time that you watched it. Like there's something new about it that you catch. Or what about you're watching a movie and it's a movie that you saw long time ago when you were a little kid. And you know everything that happens in this movie. And you even have memorized some of the lines so that you can say it along with the movie when the characters say it. But then something happens in a scene where you don't remember that particular line or that particular scene. It's new to you. And you think to yourself, wow, I just never saw that before. And it becomes a new thing. And today's scripture is like that. This one verse is like that to me. Because I was reading through the Gospel of John, and I have read through it a number of times. But this time, when I got to this verse, it stopped me in my tracks. I never saw it before. And again, I've read this story many times over the years. And this verse was new. It was either because I don't think I ever paid attention to it. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. And maybe it's because of the situation that we're in right now where we have to stay indoors a lot and it feels like we're secluded and retreating. This physical distance that we have from one another that kind of made me notice this verse more so than any other time. And it reads like this. And it says, Jesus therefore no longer walked about openly among the Jews, but went from there to a town called Ephraim in the region near the wilderness. And he remained there with the disciples. Within the Gospel of John, religious leaders and Pharisees had been challenging Jesus all along. And as the story progresses, they were becoming bolder in their questions because Jesus was starting to pose a problem. Jesus was a threat to their religion. Jesus did many great signs, such as feeding over 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fish, and healing a man that was blind from birth. But Jesus also broke Sabbath rules, and he claimed to be divine. The religious leaders could not figure Jesus out, and they really didn't know what to do with him. But they were getting some ideas, and they knew that they needed to get rid of him. Chapter 11 in the Gospel of John starts with introducing three characters. There was Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. They were siblings that lived in a little town called Bethany, just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. And that's where Jesus was heading. And Jesus knew that he was going to die. And Jesus knew he was going to die in Jerusalem. Lazarus was sick. And he ended up dying in Bethany. Jesus came to the town after his death. And Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And Jesus came into town. He had some men roll away the stone. And he prayed and he commanded Lazarus to come out of the tomb. And he did. Jesus brought this man back to life. And because of this, many of the Jews believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But some of them went back and they told the Pharisees what had happened. And this is where the plot gets thicker. because a meeting was held, and it was called by the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they decided it is about time that we go into action. That was their thinking. They were afraid that if people started believing that Jesus was the Messiah, that the Romans would destroy the temple and that they would destroy their religion. And notice what they worry about. They were worried about their temple. They were worried about their building. And they were worried about their religion. They were worried about their rituals. The high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, made the point that it would be better for just one man to die than to have the entire nation destroyed. So they devised a plan to kill Jesus. And this is where our verse comes in today. Jesus, therefore, knowing the plot to kill him, no longer walked about openly among the Jews, but went from there to a town called Ephraim in the region near the wilderness, and he remained there with his disciples. It was always my understanding that Jesus went from Bethany to Jerusalem, and that is where he went to Jerusalem on a donkey, and everybody laid palm branches down, and they were celebrating and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. But I missed this verse. I missed this part. Jesus decided to go to Ephraim because of the plot to kill him. And I think it's pretty clear from the author's perspective, from the author of the Gospel of John's perspective, that Jesus' arrest and death would happen according to Jesus' time and plan. Not the Pharisees, not the scribes, not any of the religious leaders. Jesus retreats until Passover. That was his timeline. That was his plan. Jesus didn't retreat to escape death, but to control the timeline. And I think it's pretty, what popped into my head when I read this is that that's kind of what we're being asked to do right now. We are being asked to retreat into our homes because we're trying to control the timeline so that doctors and nurses and other medical professionals can stay on top of the virus that is going on. We retreat into our homes and create distance to give a chance for professionals, medical professionals, to stay on top of it. The story goes on and says that when Passover started, many of the Jews went to Jerusalem early to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus to show up. And when they were sitting there waiting for Jesus to show up, they gossiped about whether or not Jesus would come or not. There are a few things when I look at this passage that we went over tonight. There are a few things that I can take away from it, especially when we know the context of it. The first thing is that the religious leaders were afraid that their temple, that their building, and their religion, their rituals, would be destroyed if people started believing that Jesus was the Messiah. But here's the thing. In our day and age, as we are living right now, many of our temples, many of our buildings have been sitting empty for the past few weeks now. But our faith in Christ is still solid. Many of our rituals, such as our church services and the way that we do things, our communion the way we do communion, have lost a physical home. But we still meet as a church. And this Sunday, we are celebrating communion. And it may look a little bit different, but we are still the body of Christ. The one thing that has not changed in our crazy circumstances is Christ. Christ remains the same. The second thing that I take away from this is that Jesus controlled the timeline of his death. The religious leaders did not control that. The world did not control that. And in this situation that we are going through right now, Jesus also controls the timeline. It may be hard to see sometimes, but God did not lose control. In the midst of our days. So whether we get up and we go to work or we sit all day in our pajamas, whether we get up and homeschool our kids or we binge watch the 17th season of Survivor, whether we are on the front lines at hospitals or we are in the sewing rooms in the back of our homes making masks, God is still in control of this. God knows the timeline, but as for us, we will put aside our buildings and we will put aside our rituals and we will find new ways of being the body of Christ. Amen. I think most of you know the next song that we're going to sing. It's a song called Amazing Grace. And we're going to sing two verses of that. I think it's the first and maybe fourth. I'm not sure. But you can sing along with me.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
God, thank you for this time that we can get together and share with one another. We thank you for being in control. We thank you for walking with us every day, no matter what we do. God, we ask for your continued protection upon our lives. And we ask that you be glorified in the way that we live, in the way that we treat others. God, we pray for those on the front lines who are in the hospitals, who are in the nursing homes. God, we pray for the farmers. We pray for the grocery store workers. We pray for those who go to work every day knowing that they are at risk God, we pray for those who have been put out of work, who are wondering how they're going to pay their bills. We ask that you provide. God, may we lean on you during this time. May we trust your hand, even when we don't see the end of it. God, thank you for this time. And thank you for your church. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Will you please receive the benediction? May God the Creator go with you this week. May God the Son shine through you. And may the Holy Spirit guide you in all that you do. Amen. Blessings to you. Amen.